God speaking to Joshua, and he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I'm giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. This is my command. Be strong, courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you for this truth. Thank you for the word. We are blessed and privileged to be able to open your word in your house and read it. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for making it real and revealing it to us, our hearts, in each of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. In reading through this passage, the Holy Spirit stirred some things in my heart. And I believe that many of you today need to hear the command of God, commands of God that are included in this passage. And there are several of them in this. It's repeated commandment over and over. God keeps repeating it because the Father understands human nature. He created us. He remembers that we forget. He remembers that we have sometimes short memories, and that we need to be reminded. So four times he reminds us. It's a very pivotal moment in the history of Israel. Joshua is now taking command of the people who had been following Moses, one of the greatest, if not the greatest leader in all of the history of Israel, save maybe perhaps King David. Moses, phenomenal in the job that he did in leading these people. And now Joshua has an opportunity to take them on into the promised land. And the truth that God kept repeating to Joshua, and he repeated it and emphasized it four times in one chapter. Whenever you see a place where God keeps repeating himself, that's not by accident. It's not because he stutters. It's because we need to get this in us. And the thing that God was saying to Joshua was this: the task I've called you to accomplish is critical, and you cannot allow yourself to be bound up by a spirit of fear. You can't be bound and become paralyzed in the job that you have before you. The number one issue on God's mind is Joshua is about to step into his calling and his purpose and the destiny. He could have said a lot of things to Joshua. He could have given him a long litany and list of things that I need to prepare you for before you walk over there. He could have said, get organized. He could have said, let's do a study on all the kinds of foes that you're going to engage when you get into the promised land, so that you have all the military backgrounds you need about every one of their armies and all the abilities that they have in each of their armies. Out of all the things that God could have said to Joshua, it was this: be filled with boldness and courage and remain free from the spirit of fear. That's what he told Joshua. That's why he repeated, be bold and strong and of good courage, over and over four times. And one thing God is saying to him: I don't want you dominated by the spirit of fear. Paul in the New Covenant tells us the same thing. He says to Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen? And let me remind you that 365 times in this book, in one way or another, it says, fear not. You have a certain command as we face the end of this year and a new year, and it waits for us every day when we get up. 365 times, it is a commandment from the Lord: fear not. Amen? Fear not. No matter what you face, no matter what your fears are or hear, the things that get in your ears, things that you see, what gets in your mind, no matter what kind of reports given to you, I don't want my people walking in fear. I don't want you trembling and be paralyzed by what you're observing and what you're hearing, not to be afraid of opportunities that I put before you or afraid of evil reports that come back to you. Why? Because I am with you. And I knew it was coming before it got there, so don't let it shake your confidence. Only be strong and very courageous. And God gives us four reasons why we need to remain strong. Now, Hebrews, the book of Hebrews records that God takes no pleasure in those who draw back. See, like a rubber band, it's only effective when it's stretched out. But the minute that it goes back to its original shape, its effectiveness is no longer there. So here's what he says, the just shall live by faith. My righteous servant shall live by his conviction respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, the holy fervor born of faith and co-joined with it. And if he draws back and shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight or pleasure in him. God does not take pleasure in us when instead of stretching and being stretched to become effective, that's what success is, being stretched to become effective. When the minute we allow ourselves to retreat and go into neutral and just hang there on a plateau, he says, I don't take any delight or pleasure when you're not being stretched to do the purpose for which I created you. We are postured as never before to enter into the blessings and promises of God. But God takes no pleasure if we walk away in fear, if we retreat, if we become ineffective, and the opposition or adversary is coming at us, and we retreat and run the other way. The word says that Joshua was commanded four times for four different reasons as to why you don't need to be afraid. And Joshua should be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give to them. So let me encourage you to cut off, do away with, rebuke the spirit of fear from off your life, to encourage you to be strong and very courageous as you look at what God's put before you to do in the name of Jesus. Now, first, he tells them to be strong and courageous for the sake of the people. It's not only you that's going to be the beneficiary. There are many others who are affected when you enter into what God has willed for your life. Many times, the enemy is not just resisting you because of you, because there are a lot of people, even in the church sometimes, that start to think this is all about me. And one of the things we all have to learn, this is not all about me, okay? Not all about me. He understands that if you remain bold and courageous, not only do you get to enter in, but your family members get to enter in. People around you get to enter in because you're to be the beacon and the leader that opens the door that they might enter in. You are not only love like and live like, you are to lead like. And that's why he said this repeatedly. Why did he keep repeating, be strong, be courageous? And I begin to see a different purpose for every time he mentions this to Joshua. First time he says this to Joshua, he did so, he said, for the sake of the people. For the sake of the people, I want you to be strong. You need to be courageous for your wife's sake, your children's sake, your husband's sake, for your family's sake, for your neighbor's sake. You cannot give up now. You cannot turn back now, because no man is born unto himself and no man dies unto himself. You have influence with other people. And if you give up, if you back up, if you quit, if you don't move forward, if you don't stretch in the right direction, if you don't stay strong and courageous, then your family is going to have a license to not do it either. The people around you will not do it either, because we all kind of gravitate to those we hang around. So the master wants you to know this, even when you don't feel it, to stir up the courage and the strength from inwardly, knowing that the Lord is with you, and say, I have to remain strong, even when I'm in a shaky moment, even when I face adversity, even when I feel like quitting. I can't quit because people are counting on me. Amen? Remember that. One of the great heroes of World War II, Medal of Honor winner, was privileged to be given a book with pictures of all the Medal of Honor winners from all of our wars, pictures in their little story, an abbreviated story of each one of them. And one of them was asked, what was your motivation? Because sometimes we tend to think these are just incredible and extraordinarily gifted people. Listen, every one of them did it afraid. Every one of them marched in the face of the enemy afraid. None of them was like, well, I'm a hero. I can go do this. They all marched in afraid and overcame their fears. And this particular Medal of Honor winner had been shot 8 times. He was wounded repeatedly in the mission to save his brothers who were on the battlefield and get them off the field and out of harm's way. And he fought on and on and on. And so they're interviewing him and they're asking, why did you do this? This was his response. All I had to do was picture my family under the dictatorship of Hitler. All I had to do was think in my mind, when it looked like we were about to be overrun and killed, I would get in my mind one of my children and I'd start fighting with everything that was in me because I had a mission and a purpose and I wasn't going to draw back. And that's what I'm here to say to somebody. You can't quit and you can't give up and you can't submit to the bondage of fear. You can't back up because this thing isn't just about you. And I'm here to remind you to be strong and very courageous for the sake of family and for others. In his act of obedience, Joshua didn't just affect himself, but by his act of obedience, Joshua affected the destinies of hundreds of thousands of others as he obeyed the Lord. They were beneficiaries. And the Lord wants you to know we're on the brink of the greatest days of our lives. Only be strong and very courageous. You will not just enter into those blessings by chance. You have to remain strong. If you're running that way, the blessing's over here, you're not running into the blessing. You have to remain courageous. And you have to constantly rebuke the spirit of fear. The fear of failure. The fear of being rejected. The fear of falling flat on your face. Reject that and remain strong. When Dr. Jonas Salk was looking for some type of a preventative medication that he could give and inject into people's bodies so that it would prevent the onset of poliomyelitis. And in the history of that man and the dedication and the sacrifices and the hours he spent researching, starting and stopping, thinking he was on the brink and having a setback and a failure and continuing to go forward, and the 3 stages of people around him. That will be around anybody who continues to press forward. Stage number 1, it won't work. That's exactly what they'll say to you. Stage number 2, as you keep pressing on, well, it's not really worth that much for you to go through all this. And then finally, stage number 3, after you've succeeded, we knew you could do it. We did. Yeah, that's what you're going to face every time in life. Because if you remain strong in your spirit and God is with you, you'll go in and possess and you will take other people with you. Salk's mission was accomplished. Because of that, we don't have people having that breathing apparatus and braces to walk, and that virus no longer cripples people in our country. Thank God he didn't quit. Amen. Do you believe you're on the brink of some great thing that God wants to accomplish in your life? Do you believe that there's a blessing ahead of you if you will promise to serve the Lord and honor him and keep him first? How many believe that today? So first God said, be strong for the people, because if you don't make it in, they're not going to get in. And someone ought to get that up in your spirit. If you're depressed, you ought to say, I can't stay depressed, because if I let this depression stay on me, it will affect the rest of my family. I'm getting up. Getting up. Secondly, he told them to be strong and courageous because for your own sake. For your own sake. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. And then he says in the next verse, then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. 2 good words, prosper and succeed. So the Holy Spirit's saying to us, not only do I want my people bold and courageous for the sake of the people that they influence, but for your own sake. So what does that mean? God says, I've invested a great deal in you. Moses had been serving for 4 decades under the mentorship of Moses. And Joshua now has been prepared. God's saying, I have invested a whole lot in you. So for your own sake, I want to see you prosper. I want to see you succeed in this. This is the word of the Lord. He's saying, I am not against you prospering. I want to see you breaking out, having good success. Blessed be the Lord who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So good success. God's pleased when we're blessed. And that's why you can't be faltering in your faith. You can't be wavering in your faith. You can't get tossed to and fro just because one day you feel up and the next day you feel down. He said, consistently I am with you. Stand up and be very strong and very courageous because I choose to prosper you. So God has not brought you this far to let you fail in midstream. You look back from where God brought you. Can any of you look back? Did you do that at Thanksgiving? Did you remember? Did you thank God for his faithfulness and his goodness and his provision? Did you know that God was always there in the middle of your trials and the troubles that you faced? Look where God brought you from. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. My God is a finisher. And the last thing Jesus said on the planet in his act of redemption was, it is finished. Paul said, I have finished my course. And the word says, being confident of this very thing, he that's begun a good work in you will complete it. I will finish it until the day of Jesus. He said, if I've started anything in your life, I am a finisher. So the only issue is, will you quit before you finish? Will you draw back? Will allow the rubber band go, no, it's too risky to be out here stretched like that. I'm going to draw back. Will you quit before you finish? Paul put it like this, I'm straining forward to the mark for the prize. Straining, stretching. Be strong and be very courageous, and I will finish what I started in your life. And God says, I will finish what I started in your children. I will finish what I started with your financial. So because you got yourself in debt, I'll help you get out of debt. I will finish what I started in your health. In every stage, in every major transition, you're going to need a baptism, especially when you're in transition between seasons in life. When you're beginning something you've never experienced before and you're looking for success, but you know you're going to have to stretch, you will need a baptism of courage. Well, how do I keep prospering, Pastor? Gives you the secret right here. Stay in God's word. Meditate in it day and night. He said, because I want you to prosper. Because I want you to have good success. You have to get this in your spirit, right? Get my word in your spirit. So in this new year coming, in the completion of this year, God's saying, you will live your last day in poverty and in debt. I'm giving you my word, God says, on that issue to prosper you. So be very strong and courageous and do what I'm asking you to do, and my blessing and favor will be on you because I want to grant you prosperity and give you good success. So touch your neighbor and say, this new year will be our year. How many here want the freedom to be out of debt? Anybody want that in your life? How many want to live their last year having to fight debt every time you turn around? Stay strong and very courageous because God wants to prosper you, to have good success. So you thank him because you really, truly believe that he's able. Thank him. I thank you, Lord. You are able to help me. Thank you, Lord. That's an anointed word for somebody in here today. Deals are going to come together. Products are going to start moving. God will open some doors. Success will come because there is a God factor at work in your life. Be very strong and very courageous for the sake of the people, your family and others, and don't allow yourself to grow weak or weary in well-doing. Don't become content to just sit back in an unstretched position. Stay strong. If I didn't live for Jesus for any other reason, I would do it for my family, for the sake of the people. Be strong and courageous for your own sake. Because God said, I have a lot invested in you, and I want to see it bring fruit and bring success. So I asked the Lord, why in the world would you want to bless your people like that? Why is it? What do you see in us that you want to prosper us like that? We're nothing special. Why do you keep blessing us like that? You know what he answered? Simple. Because I've seen through the years your faithfulness and those attempting to criticize you and those who have misjudged you. And he said, kind of like David, my servant, because there are people I will bless just because there are some who dislike them and those who criticize them. And I want to show them that I know how to prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. I want to show them what I showed David, that I'll do the same for you, because I'm no respecter of persons. If I did it for David, I'll do it for you too. And what that simply means is that on the front lines while you're fighting and you're getting weary and you're tired and you're fatigued from the battle and you're right there in the right on the line of war, and God sends, the king sends one of his lieutenants or his captains to pull you off the front line and bring you behind the lines. And there you begin to see a tent that the king has brought out into the battlefield and set up and says, I want just you to come in here and sit down with me and be refreshed in the presence of your enemies. They're going to see I'm a king who takes care of my people. That's the God that I serve. Hallelujah. Somebody who has a lot of enemies, rejoice, because you do not have an enemy who is bigger than your God. Amen. Amen. So looking at this, I said, Lord, I don't understand this theology. This kind of weird theology. So I was reading in Samuel, and the made to know. You know how you're made to know. And I said, man, I'm starting to get this. And he said, look, just watch David. He's betrayed by his own son, Absalom. Absalom effects a coup against his own father. And David and his cabinet and his officers have to leave town, leave Jerusalem. And Shimei runs after David. As he's leaving Jerusalem, he's throwing mud at him and rocks at him, and he's mocking David and cursing him. And he's saying that, you know, you've got blood on your hands, David, and that's why you're being thrown out of office, and we don't want you here. Get out of town. And one of David's generals drew his sword and said, let me have him. I'll hit him one time, and you'll never hear from him again. 2 Samuel 16. And King David said, no, leave him alone. And maybe that God will hear and see what he's saying and will bless me because of it. And Abishai would have dispatched Shimei with one swing of that sword. But David knew something about God, and I trust you'll learn this about God too. Perhaps the Lord will see that I'm being wronged and will bless me because of these curses today. Because David was the one who wrote, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And anytime God's going to bless you, look for somebody to attempt to put you down, because they're going to come out of the woodwork. It's always what they do. There'll be those three stages of people who come around you. Look for somebody to attempt to disparage you, because, listen, God has to have an enemy for him to prepare a table before. That's why you can love your enemies. And you can pray for them, and you can do good by them, because God is just using them to bless you more. That's right. So everybody here today who has negative attitudes towards your enemies, lift your hands and thank God for them. Amen. Thank God for them. Because God will use them to bring a blessing back on you. David learned that. Because you're not wrestling with flesh and blood. The devil is behind all of this, and the devil is defeated, and God will, listen, God will take what was meant for your evil and turn it for good if you'll just be faithful. And the next time God said, be strong and courageous. It wasn't just for the people's sake, nor just for Joshua's sake. And he loves you. He wants to bless you, yes. But you know what else he said? He said, now it's for God's sake, my sake. God said, I want to bless you because I'm your God, and I am with you. In other words, God is saying, my name is involved in all of this, in your life. And I think of David's mighty men in 2 Samuel 23. They're the picture of fearlessness. Say, God, give me a warrior spirit. Come on, say it. God, give me a warrior spirit. Because we're going to need that to take what God's promised us. In this chapter, it says, there was a spiritual boldness that qualified David's men for greatness. It was not their education. It was not the money they had in the bank. It was their spiritual boldness that made them mighty men in the army of King David. There was one mighty man named Dino, the Eznite. Now watch, he fought valiantly against incredible odds. These are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first was Jashobeam, the Hachmonite, who was the leader of the three mightiest warriors among David's men. And you don't want to meet these guys, right? He once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. killed 800. Some of you face some odds sometimes. And if it were one man fighting one man, you've got a 50-50 chance. If there are two of them against you, the one, you've got about a 33 or 34% chance of winning. But 800 to 1, do the math. Try to figure those odds. And I'm speaking to somebody who faces some tough odds. Everything seems against you. Even the word impossible has been thrown against you. Some say, listen, that a dino had to be in the crevice of a rock and to have done what he did so that no one could sneak up from behind or get to him from the side. No, I don't believe that for a minute. This was one of David's mightiest, most valiant warriors that he had serving with him. I think he had two swords. And he rotated them like helicopter blades. Can you see this guy? The Holy Spirit is on him, and he's like a buzzsaw, and he goes slicing through that army, and he kills 800 by himself. That's not a fantasy. That's a real story. It happened here on earth. Can you read the Jerusalem Post as their press is running up to a dino, and they're saying, what had happened here? How could you stand against such insurmountable odds? Overwhelming circumstances, so many numbers against you, 800, yet you stood there fearlessly, bold and courageous, and you wiped them all out. And I can hear him say, my king placed me here. It's not just about me, but I serve him and what he desires, and his name is involved on the line here. So this is where I was placed. This is where I stand and fight. This is where I win. Calvary, God told me to be strong and courageous for his sake and for our sake. And God wants to derive glory out of the odds that are against you. That's when he's glorified. When it seems impossible, I have a God who does the impossible. Then there was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. And don't laugh at his name, because you don't want to tick this guy off. Okay? 2 Samuel 23. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. See, instead of stretching, they retracted and they took off. But he arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. And the Lord brought a great victory that day. I can see all the people around him as they try to pry his fingers off the sword. He had just taken down 300 Philistine troops. Why did you stand when everybody else ran? Why didn't you turn and retreat? Why didn't you leave? Because my king placed me here. This was our mission, and this is where my king told me to stand. And I will not run. The king said, be strong and courageous and fight. And that's exactly what I did. And I know the enemy and the odds against you say to somebody, your family will never be free. You're never going to have a turnaround or a breakthrough. But there's something different happening in the atmosphere here at Calvary Christian Center. There's something about that fourth man in the burning fiery furnace. God will cause you to stand strong in the midst of the heat. Amen? And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was this piece of ground full of lentils. It was an ag farmer out in that area, and they were growing lentils on that piece of property. But the people who owned it and the people who were supposed to protect it fled from the Philistines. But he stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought a great victory. Don't you love this stuff? What are you going to get out of this? I mean, you're just standing there and you're holding ground because it's nothing but a lentil patch, nothing but beans growing in this. My king placed me here. He told me to stand here, and it's in his honor that I conquer any foe that crosses that line and dare step on the property that belongs to these families. And folks, you need to be able to do that for your family. You will draw that line and say, adversary, don't cross the line. Don't touch my family. Don't you lay a finger on my household. Understand that the battles you're in, you're not in them alone. God is with you. Listen, his name is never going to go down in defeat. Ever. Ever. And fourth, God told Joshua, fear not for the enemy's sake. For the enemy's sake? Because you're going to have those who oppose you. There'll be plenty of them in the land, I'm that God's promised them. But he said, I will take care of them. Your job is to be strong and very courageous. God will deal with his enemies through his people. He'll deal with them. And we have a role to play in these last days. God will raise up his church to impact our world, to save the lost, to confound the wise, to set God's enemies back on their heels. God's in the business of redeeming the human race. And there is no gate that hell can erect that can stand or prevail against this church. This new year, you're going to engage in stuff that will blow your mind. And I'm saying, for those who enter into the promise and those who connect in the covenant of God, learning to fast, learning to pray, doing what God's will is and keeping him first, you wait on the Lord, you prepare for what God has for you. Listen, we don't know what's going to happen in the next few months prophetically, but God is determined to make his church in the Western culture great again. Amen? Great again. Jesus is coming back. And for some who allow it, listen, there will become a domination of the spirit of fear in their hearts as never before. Because Jesus said in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. He predicted that. So the spirit of fear will arise. But I have an assignment, and this church has an assignment to attack that spirit, to break that spirit, to direct you by the Holy Spirit to be very strong and courageous, to stand up, resist the enemy. He will flee from you, from your house, from your ministry, from your finances, from your life. God didn't bring you this far in midstream to abandon you. God has a lot invested in you. Celebrate. Celebrate. Thank you, Lord. You can face all of what your tomorrows hold without fear. Because the enemies are going to come up alongside of everybody, as he has all of us, and will say to you, I will do this to you. I will take this from you. I will destroy you. No, he will not. We have authority. And remember, some devils only move out through fasting and praying. And knowing where we've got to go, the Spirit of the Lord says, you cannot be an unstable, fearful Christian. One who just runs from the slightest wind of adversity. God wants you to stand right there in the battle until you like it. Until you begin to relish it. Until you begin to look the adversary in the face and say, bring it. Because even if you kill me, I'm with Jesus. Bring it, like the three Hebrews said. With all due respect, sir, he said, we're not bowing to you. Not going to happen. Our God's able to deliver us. And if he doesn't, we're still not bowing to you, because we serve the Lord God. God wants you to stand right there in the battle until you like it. Instead of running from the battle, you run to it. And now you know what Tonto meant on Memorial Day weekend when he stood up and the first sentence out of his mouth was, war is beautiful. And people, huh? What does he mean by that? War is beautiful. It's ugly. It's horrible. Terrible. Nobody wants to be. No. He saw for what it was worth, the ability to take down an adversary that wants to take your freedom and destroy your family and rule you with an empire that will be ceaseless in its absolute destruction of everything that you hold sacred in your life. And when you have to engage an enemy like that, you look at it and say, it's a privilege to get up and serve. It's a privilege to strap on the gear. It's a privilege to go out there. It's beautiful because we get to win. Amen? We don't roll over. And until you get so used to it and you get conditioned for it that you actually say, as Paul, whether I've got plenty or I have little, I'm fine. I'm with the Lord because I know God is with me. So you stand there and you are strong. Be strong and very courageous. And he promised, then he will give you good success. So I don't care what the calculator says, or the bills that have been stacking up, or the report from the doctor, whoever, I have a God who is greater than everything that you're looking at. And at the point of your miracle, God has already planted a tree where his will and his timing cross is where miracles happen, where the fulfillment take place. And at that very place, whether it be Mara out in the middle of the Sinai and the water is so bitter, nobody can touch it, but there he planted a tree. At that intersection of God's will and God's timing, listen, God has already planted a tree, as he did at Mara, and it was waiting for them to get there, to topple it over and put it into the water and make it sweet again. So like Zacchaeus, you can climb that tree above all your limitations and say, you know what? No matter what anybody else here wants to do, I'm on top of this tree. I want to see this man called Jesus. I'm in pursuit of this guy. I want to know this man. Amen? So people of God, everybody here, stand to your feet and give him praise for victory. Praise for victory.